Radio producer Natalie Kesticher was struggling on a story she was writing when a friend invited her to a special gathering. There, after some spiritual soul searching, she finds her muse in none other than Barbara Cartland. This is Becoming Barbara.
So breathe in and be aware of your posture. I want you to sit just for a minute and have a think about the incredible writers that you know about, the amazing creative people in the world, people that you admire, people who have caught your attention.
This is Walter. He's a writer, a writing teacher, and a Buddhist. He combines meditation techniques with his teaching instruction. Oh, and he also owns a hairdressing salon in Saigon.
Is there someone in particular that you admire? Maybe one or two people. Someone whose life or work you'd like to emulate in some way. Just sit for a minute and see what names and faces come through.
I'm here with a room full of serious-looking writing students. We're all hoping that Walter will help make our creative juices flow. We take notes, we listen, we focus on our breath.
And when you're ready, I'd like you to pick up your pens and write down the names of a couple of those people. People that you would like to be, whose careers you'd like to have.
There's only one writer whose career I've ever really been drawn to, and it had nothing to do with her writing or her genre, which was romance. I prefer writing sassy chick lit myself. It was her lifestyle that attracted me, or at least the way it was portrayed in those magazines at the hairdressers. In every photo, she always looked ancient, but totally in command, and always surrounded by dogs and personal secretaries. And she's in the Guinness Book of Records for her output. More than 720 books in over 38 languages. And she put out an album of love songs when she was nearly 80. Oh yes, I'd love to have a career like that. A career I could grow into and grow old in. Not like my current career, where I feel that I need to be younger and perkier than I've ever been.
It has a very pink and gold cover and shows a very pink and gold lady.
Secretaries work in shifts to keep up with her quite monumental output.
In fact, she's that formidable romantic novelist Barbara Cartland.
556 men have asked me to be their wives.
Become that writer you most admire. Become that writer.
I'll be loving you.
My dogs sit with me, my white Pekingese, who's been with me for some time, and they lie there, and they never move. I say, how many words? And they jump to their feet screaming because they know that's the end of the chapter.
When it was my turn to share, I said, Barbara Cartland. I love that she always had dogs around her, particularly Pekingese.
Well, you know, those fluffy Pekingese dogs have quite a literary pedigree. P.G. Woodhouse, another very prolific author, was a great fan of the Pekingese. He thought that to lead a good life, you just needed a nice wife, a library, and a Pekingese on your lap. So perhaps you're following in the footsteps of some greats.
I was encouraged, and in the weeks that followed, I invited the muse, or in this case, Barbara Cartland, into my life in whatever way was feasible. The first thing I did was adopt a dog. Unfortunately, my partner wouldn't agree to a Pekingese.
No, no. They're kind of ugly, disgusting, and aggressive, and they constantly struggle to breathe. No way we are getting one of those.
So I had to be satisfied with a rather aloof, silky terrier. I read Barbara's biography and listened to her album and took note of all her health and beauty tips. After all, she did live and write till she was well into her late 90s. She was always most emphatic about the benefits of honey and vitamins and of avoiding general anaesthetic, warning that it particularly affected women over the age of 50. wiped out a quarter of their brains, she claimed.
One thing you must never, never, never take is any form of sedative. Not even one aspirin affects you.
And like Barbara, I started to dress for success. No writing in tracksuit pants or pyjamas, and no more ugly flat shoes. But most importantly, I started to write.
So how do you actually dictate? Are you lying down or sitting?
No, I sit in the, you'll see it. I sit on the sofa with my legs up.
I did feel a bit mean leaving after the most amazing sex I could remember ever having had.
The dog sits beside me and the secretary sits behind me, so I don't see her. She's very quiet.
I let my mind linger over some of the more luscious memories of the places that Richard's tongue had visited.
A white rug over my legs and a hot water bottle, because I find that when I'm concentrating very hot, my feet get cold.
We both collapsed in blissed out exhaustion, but I hadn't wanted to stay. Barbara had been the queen of the romance novel, and I would be the queen of chick lit. It was all going well until I noticed something was happening to my feet. Something that had started happening only since I'd thrown away my Birkenstocks and runners. I consulted my mother, an 82-year-old who knows all there is to know about sore feet.
If anyone needed a bunionectomy, it's you.
You could end up being crippled.
This toe will come all the way over here.
So they've got to be straightened out. Little bones in your toes will have to come out.
I wasn't too worried about the bunionectomy. The recovery period required would give me more time to focus on my writing. There was just one little thing I forgot.
One thing you must never, never, never take is any form of sedative.
Now just count backwards from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6,
Squeezing your hand?
Bugger off. Who are you? Why on earth was my secretary holding my hand? Who did he think he was? I wanted my Pekingese.
My Pekingese.
Natalie, darling, we don't have Pekingese. We have a silky terrier. Oh, you're just coming out of anesthetic. That's why you're a bit confused.
Anesthetic? What was he talking about? My attitude to sedation and general anesthetic is well documented.
Don't you remember? You had a general anesthetic for a bunionectomy. You had big bunions and you came here to have them operated on.
Anesthetic? No. Over the next few days, I had a lot of problems with that secretary. He refused to take notes, he hid all my high heels, and he even made passes at me. But the real crunch came when he insisted on bringing me an aloof silky terrier whenever I demanded to see my Pekingese. He finally capitulated when I threatened him with dismissal.
You want your Pekingese? I'll bring you your Pekingese. Just don't say I didn't warn you.
That afternoon, he crept into the house and shouted,
Barbara, we are home. Look who's here. Your Pekingese.
Okay, so you get it. I'm back, and I no longer think I'm Barbara Cartland. Is there any kind of moral or purpose to this story? Yes, there is. Don't be too quick to embrace the merits of meditation or of inviting in the muse. Always wear comfortable shoes, avoid general anesthetic, and steer clear of Pekingese dogs if you want to keep living the dream.
Good night.
One from the Radio National Archives, Becoming Barbara by Natalie Kestitcher, with sound by Russell Stapleton.